نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار الحمد لله we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no deity has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as he ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. On this next verse that I quoted in the Quran, I made a mistake in the recitation. It begins as this. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed Allah is a raqib over you. Indeed Allah is a raqib, a watcher over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct in order that he may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and his messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this religion. And every newly invented matter in this religion is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a strain. And every strain is in the hellfire. Yesterday, I had began to answer the question, how do we know the truth when we have so many groups and each group is calling to its own program claiming that it is more correct than the next group? Yesterday, because of the fact that I was sharing the time with the Sheikh Muhammad Sayyid Adli, I felt embarrassed to take up the time though he had permitted me. So today, inshallah ta'ala, while we have the time, we will try to continue to answer that question, inshallah ta'ala. Before I continue, we'll just back up to remind you of the steps or the part, the solution or the answer to that question. I'll rephrase it in another way, inshallah ta'ala, with different verses from the Quran and other hadith from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then we'll continue with today's part, inshallah ta'ala. Firstly, we began off by saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prohibited us from dividing our religion up into groups. As Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Ali Imran, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this verse in Surah Ali Imran, tells us, and do not be like the people who have divided their religion, who do not be like the people who have divided their religion up and they have differed after clear evidence has come to them. وَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And for those people is a painful chastisement. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prohibiting us, He's making forbidden to us to divide our religion up and to differ and to become different groups, because if we do, then the punishment for those people who divide the religion up into different groups, Their punishment is a painful chastisement. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, firstly, and we have to know, He has prohibited us from dividing our religion up into different groups. Then we said that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, after He has made this forbidden to us, He showed us our purpose in life by saying, Ya ayyuhan nasu a'budu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. O humanity, I command you to worship your Lord who has created you, just as He has created those before you, in order that you may have taqwa, in order that you may fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this verse, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, is showing us that our purpose for creation is to worship Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said that worshiping Allah tabarak wa ta'ala was by obeying Him and obeying His Messenger salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Nisa, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ يُدَخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, these are the boundaries set by Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created creation, and He has given us our lives, and He has set the boundaries that we are to worship Him and not to ascribe any partners in worship with Him. And then He went on to say, subhana, whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, we will enter him into Jannat, gardens underneath which rivers flow, abiding therein forever, and that is the greatest achievement. And whoever opposes Allah, whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger and transgresses the bounds, then we will enter him into the fire, abiding therein forever. Oh, what a humiliating punishment. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid it out that our purpose in life is to worship Him by obeying Him and obeying His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if we did so, then we will be rewarded with Jannah. And if we didn't, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish us with the hellfire. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the people of Jannah and to save us from the hellfire. We said that in obeying Allah and obeying His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we had to take into consideration the people who came before us, and that we could only understand and practice or implement that Qur'an and the Sunnah, or obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the understanding and the practical application of those people who came before us, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is pointing at in His Qur'an in Surah An-Nisa, when He says, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse, and whoever opposes the Messenger after clear guidance has come to him and follows a path other than the path of the believers, we will turn him to that which he has turned himself to, and we will enter him into the hellfire. Oh, what an evil abode. This, like the hadith that we were mentioning yesterday, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is motioning at how we are to understand that Qur'an and the Sunnah, because it could have been sufficient for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to say, and whoever opposes the Messenger after clear guidance has come to him, we will turn him to that which he has turned himself to and enter him into Jahannam, or what an evil abode. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And we have not sent a messenger except to be obeyed by the permission of Allah. So whoever disobeys the Messenger salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, then that person is on clear deviance. But Allah tabarak wa ta'ala felt it very proper to add, and follows a path other than the path of the believers. Whoever opposes the Messenger after clear guidance has come to him and follows a path other than the path of the believers, we will turn him to that which he has turned himself to and enter him into Jahannam, or what an evil abode. That path of the believers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to isn't the path of any person who says he's a Muslim. The person may be ignorant, unlearned about the book of Allah, the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The person may have been when a particular group or another, any Muslim could do whatever he likes, and no one could witness the Muslims doing whatever they like more than we do in these days and times that we're living in. We find that the Muslims are doing anything and everything except Islam sometimes. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the path of the believers, no one would doubt that Allah is not referring to the path of anyone and everyone that he says is a believer. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to those who the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was referring to when he said, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. And this authentic hadith collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, where he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the best of humanity is my generation, then the generation that followed them, then the generation that followed them. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to when he's saying the path of the believers. The believers that actually lived, practiced, and understood properly the book of Allah and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not just any Muslim. So we said that we have to take into consideration in obeying Allah and obeying his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we obey Allah and his messenger with the understanding and the practical application of those people who came before us, namely the companions of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then those that followed them, and then those that followed them, and anyone that follows them on that understanding and that practical application of the Quran and the sunnah to the day of resurrection. After that point, we added that it is very necessary for the person who wants to obey Allah and to obey his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the understanding and practical application of the companions of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those that follow them in that understanding and methodology, that they seek knowledge. And we quoted, a few hadith or a hadith or so showing that it is compulsory on the Muslims to seek the knowledge of Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His Qur'an recommends us to seek this knowledge, as He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ, that the only people who really fear Allah are the ulama, or those people who have knowledge of the religion of Islam. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that if we want to fear Allah as He ought to be feared and die as Muslims, then we need to seek the knowledge of the religion of Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, يَرْفَعُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah has raised up those among you who have believed and those who have been given knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, He's praising those people who have been given knowledge, that He has raised them to degrees. And we know, as all of us are seeking Jannah, that inshallah ta'ala we're seeking the Firdaus, or the highest part of Jannah, and we have to have the knowledge of the religion of Islam, of worshipping Allah, so that we can fear Him properly, so that we can get a higher station in Jannah. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah asks, say, do those people who know, are they like those who don't know? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging us to seek the knowledge of the religion of Islam, just like His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is encouraging us to seek this knowledge, as he says in the hadith collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, that whoever Allah wants some good for, He will give them the fiqh of this deen. He will give them the understanding of this deen. And Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, referring to those among us who have accepted Islam, خِيَارُكُمْ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ خِيَارُكُمْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ إِذَا فَقِهُ. And this hadith is also collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, that the best of you in Jahiliyyah, or before accepting Islam, are the best of you after accepting Islam, provided that he has a fiqh of this deen, provided that he has an understanding of the religion of Islam. So here the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم is encouraging us to seek the knowledge of this religion of Islam, because it will improve our lives, and it will make us better than those people who have not sought this knowledge. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, referring to the virtues of this knowledge, مَنْ سَلَقَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَّلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ, that whoever treads a path seeking knowledge in that path, then Allah will make the path for him to Jannah an easy path. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us that that path to Jannah could be made easy for us if we tread the path of knowledge. Because the only people who fear Allah, who worship Allah, are the people who have knowledge of the religion of Islam. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in another authentic hadith showing the virtues of knowledge says فضل العالم على فضل العابد كفضل على أدناكم, that the virtues of the knowledgeable person in comparison to the virtues of the one who only worships Allah without any knowledge is like the virtues of me, and this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaking over the virtues of the worst among you. Here the Messenger of Allah salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi is comparing himself to the worst Muslim. And some of us, if we were to compare ourselves to the worst Muslim, we would see the great difference in the virtue of the person who practices Islam to the little degree that we're trying to, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us, that we would see our virtue over that Muslim who has been tested with all of the leaving off of Salat and the absence of practicing the religion of Islam. How much so the virtue of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidu walidi Adam wa la fakhr, as he says in authentic hadith, I am the master or the best of the children of Adam without any pride. How much better is he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over the worst one from among us? This is the virtue of the knowledgeable one among us as opposed or in comparison to the one among us who just worships Allah tabarak wa ta'ala without any knowledge. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, after He shows us, recommends for us, rather commands us to seek this knowledge, He showed us and He taught us how to get this knowledge, as He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, I command you to ask the people of dhikr if you don't know. And we know that dhikr refers to, in specific, the Qur'an, the book of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Yarhamukallah. A dhikr or revelation in its general sense also refers to the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we said that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala describes him, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى, that he does not speak on his own desires, but he only speaks from revelation revealed to him. So here Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is showing us that the Messenger salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi does not speak on his own desires, but he only speaks from revelation revealed to him. And that this revelation comes in both forms, the Quran and the Sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we have been commanded to question those people. We have been commanded to question those people of dhikr, or the people who have knowledge of revelation in both its form, the Quran and the Sunnah of his last Prophet and Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is exactly what the Messenger of Allah salawatullahi wa sallamu alayhi is trying to teach us when he said in that authentic hadith, إِنَّمَا شِفَاعُ الْعِيِّ السُّؤَالِ, the only cure for ignorance is the question. The only cure for ignorance is the question. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this next authentic hadith is showing us how or where do we do that questioning, as he says, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ وَإِنَّمَا الْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّمُ, that knowledge is only acquired by seeking it. Of course, at its places where the knowledge are, going to the people who know the religion of Islam, the book of Allah and the sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then acquiring or learning that knowledge from them. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam added at the end of that hadith, and compassion is only acquired by trying to be compassionate. Or as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said when he said, إِنَّمَا الْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّمُ. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us that we have to seek this knowledge by going out and questioning those people who have knowledge of the Book of Allah and of the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this path that we had mentioned yesterday, and I'm just reminding you of it today, putting more emphasis on seeking the knowledge of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this is the path, inshaAllah ta'ala, this is the path that will help us determine or decide which people are on the truth and which people aren't, or which position is more correct than the other position. As acquiring the knowledge of the Book of Allah and of the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would be enabled to find out which is the correct path and which is the true path, the path that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laid out for us as described by his companion Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he said, خَطَّ لَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ خَطًّا ثُمَّ خَطَّ عَنْ يَمِينِهِ وَعَنْ شِمَالِهِ ثُمَّ قَالَ هَذَا سَبِيلُ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ خَطَّ عَنْ يَمِينِهِ وَعَنْ شِمَالِهِ خُطُوطًا ثُمَّ قَالَ عَلَى كُلِّ سَبِيلٍ مِنْهَا شَيْطَانٌ يَدْعُو إِلَيْهِ ثُمَّ تَلَاهُ وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوه ولا تتبعوا السبل فتفرق بكم عن سبيله. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud رضي الله تعالى عنه, and this authentic hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lays it out very clear to us, as he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam drew for us a line, and then he said, "This is the path of Allah," and then he drew other lines to the right of that line and to the left of it, and he said, "On each one of these paths is a shaytan, a devil, calling to that path." And then he quoted the verse in the Quran, "And this is my path, the straight path. I command you to follow it and don't follow any other path, as those paths will lead you from my path." This seeking knowledge will allow us to find that path of Allah, the Siratul Mustaqim, just as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has showed us that is a very simple path and an easy path and a very clear path. As he says, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, taraktukum ala al-bayda layliha kanahariha la yazighu anha ba'di illa halik. That I have left you on whiteness, al-bayda, pure and clean and clear. No, the night of it is like the day of it. No one will deviate from that after me except that he is destroyed. And Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he quoted this hadith from the Prophet salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, he said, "I swear by Allah that indeed the Messenger has left us on whiteness, pure and clean." That this path of Islam is a very simple and easy, and it's a very clear path. Walhamdulillah, and all we have to do is that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to do in order to stay away from the deviants. Ya ayyuha an-nas, taraktu feekum shay'ayn lan tadhillu ma in i'tasamtum bihima, kitab Allah wa sunnati, wa lam yatafarraqa hatta yarida 'alayya al-hawd. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his farewell khutbah to humanity when he was making Hajj sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "O humanity, I have left you with two things. Whoever holds firmly to them will never ever go astray." If we're wondering which group is more correct than the next, which position is more correct than the next, the Prophet salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi has given us the answer to save us from falling into deviance and going astray by holding on to those two things that he have left with us, the Book of Allah and my Sunnah. And those two things will never be separated until I am presented with my hawl. And here the Prophet salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi is adding something to it, to this hadith at the end, by saying they will never, those two, the Book of Allah and the Sunnah, in his Sunnah, will never be separated until he is presented with his hawl on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Here the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us that this Book of Allah and his Sunnah, they are together. They should never be separated, and they will never be separated until the day of judgment, that whoever believes in Allah, he has to follow the Book of Allah and the Messenger, just as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Say, if you love Allah, then follow me. Allah is commanding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, O Muhammad, say to the people, if you love Allah, then follow me, Allah will love you, and he will forgive you of your sins. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us that the solution to the problem that we find ourselves in today, as which group should we be following, or which position should we be following, that the correct position is to follow the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way that it was understood and practiced with the methodology of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then those that followed them. However, treading that path, we will still find ourselves differing. Just as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala informs us, وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ, and that the people will never cease to be differing. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Hakim, the wise, He has created us and He has allowed us to be differing in some of our positions, but He has given us the solution when we find ourselves in these differences. As He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنْ تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. O you who believe, I command you to obey Allah, and I command you to obey the Messenger, and those scholars and leaders from among yourselves, from among the Muslims. But if you differ, firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah laid out what we were trying to lay out, answering the question, how do we know which is the truth? O you who believe, I command you to obey Allah, I command you to obey the Messenger, and those leaders and scholars from among the Muslims. This is the program that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wanted for us. But if you differ, rather when you differ, then take it back to Allah, meaning the Book of Allah, and to the Messenger, to him directly during his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to his sunnah, that which is authentic from it after his death, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you believe in Allah and the last day, that is better as a final decision. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to question the people of dhikr, the people who know the Book of Allah and the sunnah of his Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But even after that, as human beings, we will find ourselves differing. And if we do, Allah has commanded us to take our differences back to Allah and back to his Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That whenever we find ourselves differing, should I choose this group or that group, let's take our differences back to Allah and his Messenger, if we believe in Allah on the last day, because that is better as a final decision. If we find ourselves differing to a particular issue, should it be this way or should it be that way? One scholar said this and the other scholar said that. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala hasn't left us alone. He has given us the solution by saying, take it back to the Book of Allah and back to the sunnah of his Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will pose the question, as many of us would, as we aren't among the scholars of Islam or the learned people. We would question, and this is the way that we should question, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He taught us to question those people who have knowledge of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is exactly the way He wanted us to question Him. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was questioned, when the particular Shaykh gives us the verdict, we questioned him. Ya Shaykh, is that the verdict of Allah? Ya Shaykh, is that the verdict of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi was questioned, and I'm paraphrasing that hadith, when the man came and said, who is Muhammad? He said, you're Muhammad. It has come to me that you are commanding us to bear witness to La ilaha illallah, and that you are the Messenger of Allah. I'm asking you by Allah, did Allah command you with that? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said yes. He said, I hear that you're telling the people that they have to make 5 salat every day. I'm asking you by Allah, did Allah command you to tell the people that? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said yes. If the Messenger of Allah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi can be questioned by anyone off the street, so to speak, did Allah command you with that? And he is the one sent by Allah to humanity, as Allah tells us, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. Allah tells the Prophet, say, O humanity, I am the Messenger of Allah to all of you. This is how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was questioned. And he affirmed it, showing that this is from the sunnah, from his sunnah, inshallah ta'ala, to allow the people of knowledge to be questioned. Ya Shaykh, is that verdict the verdict of Allah? Ya Shaykh, is that the verdict of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If we did this, inshallah ta'ala, we have fulfilled our obligation of questioning the people of dhikr when we don't know. If that Shaykh is incorrect, and inshallah ta'ala, or it has been, as Allah has decreed it, that some of the ulama would make mistakes. But the Prophet ﷺ told us about the mistakes of the ulama, as he said in the authentic hadith, إِذَا اجْتَهَدَ الْحَاكِمْ فَأَخْطَأْ فَأَصَابَ فَلَهُ أَجْرًا وَإِذَا أَخْطَأَ فَلَهُ أَجْرٌ. The hakim, or the shaykh, if he tries to make a verdict and he is correct, he is rewarded with two rewards. And if he is incorrect, then he is rewarded with one reward. Here, as the ulama of Islam have explained, that the Prophet ﷺ is referring to two rewards for the scholar who is correct, one reward for being correct, and the other reward for sincerely trying to reach that which was correct. And if he made a mistake, then he is rewarded with one reward, that is the reward for sincerely trying to be correct. So if we went to the ulama, we can expect that some of them will make mistakes, as they are human beings, and that shouldn't make us hold anything against the ulama, but we should love the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen and raised up to be those people who know His religion. And for ourselves, if we happen to have come across a verdict of the shaykh and it was incorrect, then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, al-ithmu ala man afta, that the sin is on the one who gave you the verdict. If someone was trying to mislead you, and you question him, is that the verdict of Allah? Is that the verdict of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And he said yes, and he was lying, then the sin would be on that person. And if he wasn't lying, and he was sincerely trying to tell the truth, then he would be rewarded with one reward. And you would have done that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you to do by questioning those people who have knowledge. There's one other point that I wanted to make, or a point and a half, inshallah, and that is that when we're seeking the knowledge of this religion and we're trying to do that which would save us from falling into deviancy or going astray, that which would help us to follow the truth in the times when so many people are calling to so many things, we have to seek the knowledge of what was mentioned in quite a few lectures here. And that is, we have to seek the knowledge of our aqidah, the knowledge of the sound beliefs of the Muslims, the knowledge of the tawheed, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in His Quran, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. I command you to have knowledge. I command you to have knowledge that there is لا إله إلا الله. I command you to have knowledge that no deity, no God has the right to be worshipped, is worthy of worship, is worshipped in truth other than Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to have knowledge of this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent His messengers to humanity with this message, as He says, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَجِتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. And certainly I have sent a messenger to every nation proclaiming, worship Allah and stay away from the false deities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another verse in His Quran says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ مِّنْ قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعْبُدُونَ. And I have not, and here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to His messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hisham ibn Abdi Munaf al-Qurashi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I have not sent a messenger before you, Muhammad, except that I have revealed to him, there is no God that has the right to be worshipped other than me. I command you all to worship me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent all of His messengers to humanity with the same message, and that is the message of La ilaha illallah. Worship your Lord, no deity has the right to be worshipped other than Him. This is the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent all of His prophets and messengers with, and this is the message that we need to put emphasis on, just as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed the importance of it in that authentic hadith that he said, that everyone has memorized, inshallah, بُنِيَ الْإِسْلَامُ عَلَىٰ خَمْسٍ شَهَادَةِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, to the end of that famous hadith. Islam is based on five pillars, bearing witness to La ilaha illallah, and that I am the messenger of Allah. or that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Here, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us that one of the basic pillars of Islam is to establish the tawheed of La ilaha illallah, and we need to put the importance on it, the importance that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gave, as he had his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca for 13 years calling the people to La ilaha illallah, as he said, Ya ayyuhan nas, qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa begin his message off telling the people, O humanity, I command you to say La ilaha illallah, you would be successful. One of the most important points or aspects of this religion that we need to concern ourselves with acquiring the knowledge of, and that's the knowledge of the oneness of Allah, as it will save us from falling into deviancy, inshaAllah ta'ala, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this authentic hadith, showing the importance of this statement, of knowing this, أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أُقَاتِلَ النَّاسِ حَتَّى يَشْهَدُوا أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. I have been commanded to fight the people. I have been commanded to fight the people until they bear witness to La ilaha illallah. بُعِثُ بَيْنَ يَدَيِّ السَّاعَةَ بِالسَّيْفِ حَتَّى يُعْبَدَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. I have been sent before the last hour with the sword in order to make the people believe in La ilaha illallah وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. In order to make the people believe in, no deity has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this authentic hadith is showing us the importance of establishing the tawheed in our lives. And if we see the ulama, the scholars of Islam, those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised to degrees because of their knowledge of the book of Allah and the sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that they have put an extreme importance on writing down the beliefs of the Muslims, as we have taken yesterday one of the theses written by Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahimahullah, who died 198 Hijra and was born 107 Hijra, that this early the Muslim scholars were writing down the sound beliefs of the Muslims to show us the importance of it. And from that time and before that time up to today, we find that the scholars of Islam are continuing to write books on the aqidah of the Muslims, and that the ulama and the people who know the religion of Islam from the students of knowledge on upward, they are teaching in the masjids and the houses of Allah the beliefs of the Muslims, because this sound belief is that which could save us from falling into deviancy, as we see everyone who has fell into any type of deviancy, small or large, that he has had a problem with the belief in Islam. That every type of deviancy stems from a particular misunderstanding or incorrect understanding of a particular belief in Islam. Each and every one of us knows that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made his prophet and messenger the last prophet and messenger to humanity, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi says in an authentic hadith collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi in this narration that I'm going to quote, but it's also mentioned in Al-Bukhari and Muslim with another narration, La rasool ba'di wa la nabi. La nabiyya ba'di wa la rasool. There is no prophet after me or a messenger. The narration Al-Bukhari and Muslim just has, there is no prophet after me. And this narration from Imam al-Tirmidhi, and there is no prophet after me or a messenger. We find that two of the deviant groups, rather two of the groups that have left Islam in today's world, who still claim to be Muslims, have deviated from just this belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent his last prophet and messenger. And I'm referring to the groups, the Ahmadiyyan sect or the Qadiani sect and the Nation of Islam. Both of them claim that they have a messenger after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We see how one particular belief, if you don't understand it properly, it can take you so far as to leave the religion of Islam, to leave the fold of Islam. And all of the deviance that has crept into this religion that's not from it has stemmed from one belief or another. And for this reason, I'm trying to say that if we want to know the correct path from the path of deviance, then we need to put importance on learning the proper beliefs of the Muslims, because this, inshallah ta'ala, would safeguard us from falling into any type of deviance. There was two other points that I wanted to mention, and I took these points from the Shaykh this morning as he gave a brief talk after Salatul Fajr, showing us how to tread this path of the believers, the correct path, and to stay away from the path of the other people, as he was quoting in Surah Al-Fatiha, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرُ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we make this dua, or this supplication to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, in each and every raka'ah of our salah. And we say, guide us to the straight path, to the path of those that you have blessed, that you have showed your mercy on, not the path of those who you have your anger on, nor those who have gone astray. And I was mentioning this point, and I wanted to just drift into the example that the Shaykh gave, hafizahullah. And yesterday I was saying that we had to ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to guide us to this path, because whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to make this dua, as we have to make it every day in Surah Al-Fatiha, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us to the straight path. We have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to this path, and not to make us among those who follow the path of those who have the wrath of Allah or the anger of Allah on them, nor the path of those who go astray. And we know that they are the path of the Jews and the Christians, as explained by our Messenger and Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to guide us to the straight path. And then we have to be with those people who are on the straight path, as Allah commands us, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kunu ma'as sadiqeen. O you who believe, I command you to be with the truthful. And some people among the Mufassirun, from the scholars of the Tafsir, they explain that the righteous are the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In specific, and then in general, those people who have followed their path, Allah is commanding us to be with the truthful, to be with the righteous, those people who fear Allah, those people who know the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is commanding us to do the same, as he says, Al-mar'u ala deeni khalilihi falyanzur ahadukum man yukhalil, or kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this authentic hadith, that a person is on the deen, or the way of life, of his close friend. So you should look at who you befriend. So each and every one of you should look at who he befriends. If we take the ignorant as our friends, we can expect to be among the ignorant. And if we take the righteous as our friends, inshallah ta'ala, we can expect to be among the righteous, because a person is on the deen of his close friend. This is an answer, inshallah ta'ala, to the question, how do we know the straight path? How do we know that which is correct when we see all of this deviance? It seems from the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if we took the steps that we found in today's talk, which was a continuation of yesterday's talk, that we would be able to recognize the truth from the falsehood. And that is that first we have to recognize that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has prohibited us from dividing ourselves up into groups or sects. That whenever we divide ourselves from the rest of the Muslims, we should feel that we're incorrect, knowing that Allah says, وَإِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُونَ. And this is your nation. This is your ummah. It is one ummah, and I am your Lord, and I command you to worship me. We have to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited us from dividing ourselves from the rest of the Muslims, but we are one ummah, and we have one Lord, and we have one religion of Islam. Then we said that we had to keep in mind our purpose in life, and that is to worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And that we worship Allah by obeying Allah and obeying His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, following the Quran and the Sunnah. And that we could only follow this Quran and the Sunnah with the understanding, the practical application and the methodology of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then those that followed them, and then those that followed them up into our generation. And we said that we couldn't understand that book of Allah or the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with that understanding and practical application and methodology of His companions until we sought the knowledge by questioning those people and sitting around those people who know the book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so that we could acquire that knowledge. And then we said that we had to ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to guide us to that straight path. Because whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. And that we had to take in mind that though we're trying to tread this straight path, that as human beings, and being as Allah has said, and the translation of that verse is, I have created humanity weak, or as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, can someone remind me of that verse? I can't find that verse right offhand, and it slips my mind. But the English translation, and it's in Surah An-Nisa, is that Allah has created humanity weak. And that being weak, we will find ourselves falling into differences of opinion. And if we find ourselves in differences, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our differences out of sincerity. That sincerely trying to follow the truth, we differ. And not to willfully, intentionally, and knowingly try to be among those people who follow other than the truth. And that if we find ourselves, after this sincerity, falling into difference of opinion, that we should take our differences back to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even after that, we may still find ourselves differing. And then we should take into consideration the statement of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith of Al-Bukhari, اقرأ القرآن ما اتلفت عليه قلوبكم وإذا اختلفتم فقوموا. Read the Qur'an so long as you agree that each particular ayat has a particular meaning. But if you differ, then disperse. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving us guidance in the type of differences that we have after we have taken them back to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If after that we find that we still differ, then we should just disperse in order that we keep the love of Islam and the brotherhood of Islam in our hearts, by not allowing the issue to go on more, by saying, no, the ayat means this. No, I said the ayat means that, and to argue. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had prohibited his companions, when he mentioned this hadith, that they were differing as to a particular ayat. Some of them were saying it's like this, and some of them were saying it's like that. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them to read the Quran so long as you agree that each particular ayat has a particular meaning. But if you differ, then disperse. If we differ, after going to the people of knowledge, we take our differences back to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If after we have taken it back to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we find ourselves continuing to differ after that, then we're to disperse and to let that difference go. And subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I ask Him right now, O Allah, we ask You to show us the truth and make it clear to us, and to bless us with following it. And O Allah, we ask You to show us the falsehood as being falsehood, and bless us to stay away from it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in knowledge, to increase us in taqwa, to increase us in iman, to increase us in wealth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to tread His straight path. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, walhamdulillah. If there were any questions in relationship to the talk this morning, inshallah ta'ala, we can answer those questions.
And if there are questions related to other than this topic, then they should save the questions for the people of knowledge, as Allah has commanded us, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. I command you to ask the people of dhikr, or the people of knowledge of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you don't know.
As-salamu alaykum. I just ask you to repeat the hadith that says that if someone asks someone of knowledge about something and asks him if that's from Quran and Sunnah, that it's okay if he accepts it and there's no fault upon him.
Can you repeat that again?
If someone asks an alim,
yes,
a question, that there's no fault on the person if the alim is wrong.
Yes. I think this hadith that the brother is referring to, it's in Sunan Abu Dawood, and right now my memory is failing me, but that is al-ithmu ala man aftaka. Al-ithmu ala man aftaka. That the sin is on the one who gave you the verdict. Is that the hadith that you're referring to, akhi? Allah ybarak fik. And maybe inshallah ta'ala, if I get a chance, or if any one of the brothers gets a chance, he can ask the scholars as to is that hadith actually in Sunan Abu Dawood, or who collected that hadith. Allah ybarak fik. If there's no questions, then we could just end here. And if there was anything good and what I said, then it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's no success except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants that success. And if there was anything incorrect or wrong, then it's from me, and I seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, and I ask you to forgive me for my shortcomings. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.